We have been discussing a very interesting topic, that in the path of spiritual practice, symbolism is of the utmost importance. And in my last class I mentioned, there is one particular chakra called Sri Chakra. It is considered the queen of all chakras. Perhaps some of you might have seen, though from a distance, please have a look at it. In brief, I will try to explain what it signifies. This is all a very delicate, esoteric, but very deep, symbolic drawing. It's not a child sitting and drawing, but through intuition, the rishis have discovered this. What do you see? See number of triangles, some ups, upside down, some upright, and you will see lotuses, you will see concentric circles, you will see some squares. First, just to take a look, there is in the very middle, there is a dot that is called bindu, just a dot. It is not a dot, this in a way of speaking, we can say it is the point of singularity. What Stephen Hawking says, point of singularity. Why do we compare it with this? Because that dot or bindu represents Divine Mother, Shakti, and from her the whole universe has emanated. This diagram represents three things. It represents the whole of the Goddess in manifestation. It is the body of the Divine Mother. It represents human body. It represents the entire cosmos is here. This is the most simplified of the drawings that I have been able to print. Unfortunately, I didn't have a colored printer. Otherwise, we would have an excellent picture of this. Now, in very briefly, what it means, you see, creation is possible only when pure consciousness combines itself with the divine energy. In Vedantic terminology, this energy is called Maya. But in devotional literature, she is called the Divine Mother. Sri is the Divine Mother. Chakra means it is the diagram. This is the best diagram. You will notice that the whole thing is enclosed by four squarish types. These four are supposed to represent four doors so that we can enter into the presence of the Divine Mother. So you see the triangles, I know from a distance it is difficult. Later on you can take a look at it. The inverted triangle represents the feminine principle. The upright triangles represents the pure consciousness. Creation is always a combination of pure consciousness plus the divine energy. And there are deeper things here, that these triangles cross each other. And wherever they cross each other, a point of energy is created. And interestingly, you know, in Chinese system of medicine is what you call acupuncture, the very several points. These are in a way comparable to that. So the prana or the energy is circulating wherever these crossings happen. If the crossings are not all right, then ill health results. If the crossings are all right, then good health results, in every sense of the term. Then you will see the circles with lotuses. In Indian symbological system, a lotus always symbolizes, signifies a state of consciousness. And interestingly, every classical Hindu temple is also represented by this Sri Chakra. There is 9 doored ways are there. But in tantric terminology, we say there are, you know, 7 chakras are there. ಮೂಲಾಧಾರ, ಸ್ವಾಧಿಷ್ಠಾನ, ಮಣಿಪುರ, ಅನಾಹತ, ವಿಶುದ್ಧ, ಆಜ್ಞ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಹಸ್ರಾರ. ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಸೆವೆನ್ ಚಕ್ರಾಸ್. ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಯು ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಗೋ ಔಟ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಹಾಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಟೆಂಪಲ್ ದೇರ್, ಮಾಡೆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಎ ಟೆಂಪಲ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಟೆಂಪಲ್ ಇಸ್ ಎನ್ಕ್ಲೋಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಸೆವರಲ್ ಕಾಂಪೌಂಡ್ ವಾಲ್ಸ್. ಯು ನೋ, ಯು ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಹೌ ಮೆನಿ ಎನ್ಕ್ಲೋಸರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್. You will see there are exactly 7 enclosures. Each represents an ascending state of consciousness. The deeper we go, the more advanced we are spiritually. Here also, the practitioner, what he does, the guru initiates secretly, because from outside we will not know. Here also it is not drawn. Sanskrit alphabet consists of 51 letters, and here all these places are filled with 51 letters of the Sanskrit alphabet. You can say if it were English alphabetical letters, then there will be 26. What does this 26 or 51 really represent? Do you know what it represents? After all, you know, let me tell you a joke. There was a budding poet, so he wrote some book of poems. It was published, and the great writer Mark Twain was invited to inaugurate it. So he also came and sat down on the stage, and the young poet was asked to recite his own poems, and he did it, and was looking at these people on the stage for their reaction. Everybody said, "It's very nicely written." Mark Twain said, "No, no, I have read this book somewhere. You only plagiarized the whole lot." Poet got so angry. "If it is true, Mr. Twain, you must show me the book." Said, "I will send you one." He went back and sent a dictionary. Because all the words of the whole language are there in the dictionary, is it not? Though, I'm telling in a jocular way, the whole universe is represented through sounds. And all these sounds are contained within this alphabet, is it not? So a combination of these alphabetical letters is what we call different, the names of the different objects. But what are these alphabetical letters really speaking? They are the emanations of the Divine Mother. It is why in Sanskrit they call Matruka Nyasa. When we do worship, we touch various parts of the body with one alphabetical, I, whom, him, like that, touching. It is the symbolizing that the whole body is nothing but a representation of this whole universe. And by implication it means the whole body is microcosm. What is microcosm? Is there this microcosm? Is there. Sri Ramakrishna put it in his own inimitable way. There was a devotee, and he once made a statement which Sri Ramakrishna liked very much. What was the statement? A devotee is superior even to God. So how come? So Sri Ramakrishna asked the devotee to explain it. And he said, "Look, this universe, it is infinite. Nobody can imagine how big it is. And we are all in this universe. But God contains this whole universe within himself. He transcends this universe, infinite universe, is it not? So who is great? God or the world? God is greater. But that God, who is even greater than the universe, is contained in the heart of the devotee. Then who is greater? God or the devotee?" So a human body, human personality, it represents microcosm. The entire cosmos is represented here. And this Sri Chakra contains these three things: symbolic of a human body, the body of the goddess, and this entire universe. When we can make all these three, as realize them, all these three as one in three and three in one, as pure consciousness, then the goal is reached. A triangle, as I explained in my last class, it is a combination of the waking state, the dream state, and the dreamless state, symbolism. Or it can be the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body. Or it is a combination of God, universe, and the individual soul. depending upon the person, practitioner, the guru slowly advances him through telling these various things. So he not only makes it to be drawn, this is something which you cannot buy from a market and then start staring at it. The guru, when he initiates the disciple, then he instructs him how to construct this particular yantra, telling to him what is the meaning, significance of each of these lines and all those things. And this disciple has to construct this Sri Chakra every time he wants to worship it. Painstakingly he has to construct. Why should he do it? Because that concentrates his mind, that makes him think of the meaning, and in course of time he will realize that he, the Divine Mother, and the universe are one and the same. In brief, this is the symbolism of the Sri Chakra. Unfortunately though, the Sri Chakra is also reputed to give miraculous powers. That is why those who practice either black magic or white magic, they use it very much in India at least. And as I also mentioned, that Jung, Dr. Jung, the famous psychologist, he indulged in the study of some of these things he called mandalas. I do not know if some of you have studied Tibetan Buddhistic scriptures, you will come across many mandalas. They call it mandalas. They are much more graphic than Indian yantras. There they fill them actually with the pictures of the god, various gods and goddesses. They are also hung on the walls, the different pictures of the gods, goddesses, demons, very ferocious figures and all those things. And uneducated people, I do not mean illiterate, I mean those who do not understand these things, oh, these Tibetans are very gross-minded, like a child scribbling. They don't know what they are doing. They represent God in these various forms. They do not know how much deep significance it has for the people who know about it. You see, each one of our religions or culture produces certain types of symbols which may not have that much of meaning for other cultures. Take for example cross. You know, cross doesn't make much of a meaning for a Hindu, but whereas a swastika makes a lot of meaning for a Hindu. But it also, again, for a Hindu, a swastika is one of the most auspicious symbols. But for a Jew, let him think of the swastika, things, you know, that Holocaust and pogroms and all those things. Whereas a cross, you mention the cross for a Christian, the whole life as though is compressed in that one symbol, cross. How many people have dedicated their lives to this cross? So it needs faith, it needs discipline, it needs tremendous focus of mind, all these things. It is a way of spiritually progressing, and we do it in our regular worship in a very simplified way. We do it. The point we are discussing is, all these are aids. So our topic is rituals, symbols, how symbols help us in our spiritual progress. These are not the only things that are used in symbols. There are also other things. So one of the most important of these things is what is called the contemplation of sound. In simple words, it means we all use mantras, including Muslims, including Christians. Christians have a wonderful mantra. It is called Jesus Mantra. Do you know what it is? Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. There are variations, but this is the most important essence of this mantra. In Hindus, of course, they excel in mantras, and they create different types of mantras. It's a philosophy by itself. In case you do not know, that philosophy is called Spotavada. It is the philosophy of sound. In Vedantic terminology, it is called Shabda Brahma. God in the form of sound. Now sound, do not make a mistake, is the sounds which we hear. which the ears hear. No, hear by sound, shabda, they do not mean this kind of physiological something which strikes the ear canal and produces certain reactions. That is the gross meaning. The subtle meaning is, again, what we call the finest point from where this whole universe has emanated, Shabda Brahma. So if this whole universe has come out from the sound, where from the sound has come out? The sound itself has not come out from anywhere, but God perceived as sound, Shabda Brahma, in the form of sound. And the sound manifested itself in the form of this universe. Therefore, every name, in a way of speaking, is a mantra. You know, you may not have thought deeply about it. If you have watched nature films, you know, a tiger cub, it is playing and it encounters some problem, some danger, and it cries out. And immediately, you know, it is crying out all the time. But when the danger comes, it emanates a particular sound. As soon as the mother hears that sound, it jumps up and runs to the rescue of its cub. Now, for us, does that sound make any meaning? It is a mantra. The baby cub is repeating this mantra. Oh God, come and save me. I am putting it in that form. But what it is telling, Ma, please come and help me. Is it not a mantra? When we are babies, are we not crying? When we are hungry, we cry. Of course, we cry also when we are not hungry. That's a different matter. We cry for all sorts of reasons. But when we are wanting something, we cry. And it's a mantra. Because what is a mantra? That which helps us is a mantra. By repetition, by uttering, whatever helps is a mantra. A tiger cub is telling this mantra, Mother, come and help me, there seems to be a danger. And a baby is crying, Mother, I am hungry, I need food. That's immediately, as soon as that mantra is uttered, the goddess comes, means the mother comes and feeds the baby. So this whole universe is nothing but a play of the Divine Mother. So there is a special name for the Divine Mother in Sanskrit. It is called Lalita. Lalita means divine play. Leela. So this is also called, Sri Chakra is also called Lalita Chakra. So that, because it is the play of the Divine Mother. Chit Shakti Leela Krida. So the whole universe is nothing but a matter of sound. And from a scientific point of view also, it is absolutely true. How is it true? You see, what are these objects in this universe consisting of? Molecules. And what are these molecules doing? They are whirling at light, mind-boggling speeds. Are they not? They are, in other words, nothing but vibrations. We are all vibrating all the time. But because of our limitation of our sense organs, we do not see. Are we vibrating now? We are. If you look at through an electronic microscope, you will see nothing but vibration. Of course, what about the mind? Is it vibrating or is it still? It's vibrating. Everything in this universe is vibrating. And when something